Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did her husband need help crossing over? Did he not realize he had passed? Or could he have been there to comfort his loved ones?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you have a real ghost story, we're the people to share it with because we love them. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Or if you're uncomfortable with that, some people are, you can write it in. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. You could also become a premium subscriber. And with that, you get advanced episodes. You get access to the archive of about 5,000 episodes. No commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories. Or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy, my sister, is here. How's everything?
It's great. How's everything with you?
It's windy. It's so effing windy today. So We live in Kansas, and if we say it's windy because we deal with wind all the time. But it was so funny because it's like 74 degrees. I normally have my windows open, but today was so windy I had to shut my window because you could hear it.
I am not kidding. It is super windy today. You know, when I moved to give you an indication of living in Kansas wind, when I moved up to Iowa one day, I had the weather on and this guy said, "It is going to be windy today. We've got gusts up to 10 miles an hour." I thought I would roll up the chair laughing. Like, that was the most hilarious thing I'd ever heard in my life. Like, in Kansas, they don't even mention it unless we're up to 40 or 50 miles an hour.
True. And we'll say, like, it isn't, if it's like in gusts up to 25 miles an hour, they'll say,
"That's a regular day."
They go, "It's a breezy day."
Yeah, it's a little breezy.
Today is a high wind warning day. So when we get those, it's really windy. So we're having gusts up to 60 miles an hour today. And it's not like there's a storm. That's just wind.
And people, there ain't nothing there to block it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no help. It hits you at 60 miles an hour. I remember one time when my daughter, Kate, was, she was probably 3 or 4. And I went to pick her up out of preschool. And they opened the door and she came out. And, you know, the lady usually held their hand and walked them to the car. Well, Kate stepped out on her own. The lady was going to take her hand. Kate stepped out on her own. The wind caught her and just threw her to the ground.
Oh, like, just honey. As like,
it just took her and flattened that little girl. Like, that is how strong the wind is out here.
Oh yeah. You know? I remember years ago, my bank was on a corner. Now I think it's apartments now. I think they just built some new townhomes there, but I can't remember when it was, but I was wearing this skirt that was really.
Oh dear. That's a bad idea.
Well, and it was like I can't think of what you call it, like a very full skirt.
Mm-hmm,
so like a little breeze blows up, you got to hold on to your skirt, right? So
right.
I got out of the car and the wind was kind of swirling around. My skirt went up every direction. Oh, and I'm right on the corner of the street going into the bank. And I was like, I'm grabbing my skirt and I'm pulling it down. And I hear honk, honk, honk. And I look over and these guys are going thumbs up. I was like,
well,
I waved at him. You're welcome.
Okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, it gets very windy here. But it was funny because I had the windows open. And I'm like, people are going to hear the damn wind today. That's how windy it is. I had to shut it.
There are days in Kansas where, as an art teacher, you know, at the college, I have told my students, don't get it out of the car.
Oh,
like, do
yeah.
not bring it.
True.
Because it happened to me. I got out of a car once and I had worked really hard on a drawing. Matter of fact, it was a drawing of you.
Aww.
And yeah. And I did this drawing. I got out of the car and had the drawing in my hand and the wind just took it and just bent it in half. And so I had cardboard and stuff on it. It wasn't like it was just the drawing. Like, I had it matted and cardboarded on the back and all this stuff. It just bent it like it was nothing. So I always tell my students, leave it in the car today. Yeah. We'll do it on Wednesday.
Don't tempt
it. Or whatever. Yeah.
Well, this story that we've got today, it's pretty emotional, but it's also, it really touches my heart deeply. So it says, this isn't a scary story, but something myself and children experienced after the sudden death of my husband, which, by the way, I can't imagine. I'm very sorry. Back in 2010, my husband was killed in a tragic accident. We were out of town on vacation when the accident occurred, so it was another day before we could get back home to Louisiana. The very first night home, I, of course, had my children sleeping with me. They were 8 and 10 at the time, and they basically cried themselves to sleep in my arms. I couldn't sleep, and I was just lying in bed in the middle of both of them. Now, I've lived in my house for many years, and I know every shadow cast, light reflection in my bedroom. I was lying there, reliving the past 24 to 36 hours, and all of a sudden, a black mass, like shadow, emerged from the corner of my bed to the side of my bed next to me and the kids. Every hair on my body, including the little peach fuzz on my face and neck, stood on end. The best way to describe it is when you touch one of those electricity balls and you're filled with static electricity. I wasn't scared at all, but I had a sense of love and peace. I had the overwhelming feeling that it was my recently deceased husband. I immediately sat up and looked at the shadow mass. I stated, B, I know this is you. I can feel you. I'm okay with seeing you, but not like this. This mass-like appearance scares me. The shadow stayed for another moment, then took two steps to the corner again and just disappeared. I kept this to myself and pondered it for the rest of the night. The very next day, I had tons of family and friends over. That night, my sis, brother-in-law, and BFF, we were all sitting outside, planning the funeral and reminiscing about my late husband. I was only drinking Diet Pepsi and was taking zero medications, sleeping pills, or anything. I had nothing in me that could alter my perception. When I got up from the table outside to grab myself another Diet Pepsi, I froze at the back door. In the chair next to the back door was my deceased husband in his favorite LSU polo shirt, jeans, belt, and flip-flops. His legs were crossed, just sitting back and listening to us. It was like he was completely solid. As I was staring at him, he turned his head to me and smiled. I couldn't move. I was trying to process what I was seeing. When I looked back at the table outside and then looked at the chair B was in, he was gone. I went inside, got my Pepsi, came back out. Everyone at the table just stopped and stared at me and they said, "What the hell's wrong with you? You look like you've seen a ghost." I then told them what I had just seen and walked over to the chair that B was in. When I put my hands over the chair, all of the hair on my arm stood on end again, like the previous night. I called them over, and they experienced the very same thing with the hair on their arms also, which gave me validation. Over the next week, myself, both of my children, B's best friend, several of our mutual friends, all experienced paranormal activity regarding my late husband, from smelling his cologne to hearing him speak. His phone would call me. I have AT&T phone records to prove it. Lucid dreams to full apparitions. It was so much activity that I actually called my priest to speak with him to see if I needed a psychiatric consultation. I'm an RN and would be submitting anyone for a psych consult if they told me of these experiences. My priest told me not to worry, that everything I explained to him is extremely similar to what others have told him after sudden death of a loved one. Now, being an RN, I've experienced weird and paranormal things that cannot be explained with dying patients, but I had never experienced anything to this degree. It's been 7 years now that B has passed. We don't experience him, she put that in quotes, or anything as we did in the beginning. But we can tell he's around on special days like the kids' birthdays. Thank you so much for offering a platform for our experience to be told. What you guys do is absolutely wonderful. S in Louisiana. I don't know. That's so, makes me so emotional. And I believe and every word of it.
Like, oh, I do. I do. You know, and I don't know that there's anything for us to add to that, except for I think, you know, he was there, he was watching him. And like we've discussed this before, there just seems to be that window of time after you lose someone that they seem to kind of be here, you know, a little bit. And, you know, with us. I've felt it at times when I've lost somebody. You know, I've seen apparitions. And the one that she said to me that brought me back, and I thought, oh gosh, yeah, is the smell.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have such a strong smell. You know, I have a really sensitive smell. I'm sensitive to smells is what I want to say. And I, you know, like after Dad died, I would smell Old Spice.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that was his, you know, aftershave stuff. And I just get this waft of it. But she's right. Then after a period of time, it just seems to be not as intense. It isn't that you miss him anymore. You don't miss him. It isn't that, you know, it just isn't quite as intense. And I'm not saying they're not there. I'm not saying that, you know, still they don't watch us or, you know, they may not. But it isn't like they still have one foot here and one foot there. You know what I mean?
And I think in this case, with it being a sudden passing,
mm-hmm.
that it makes it a little, who knows? This is just my thinking. But it's kind of hard for them because they don't, they would be so quick, and it was an accident,
mm-hmm.
that what, you know, it's like, I could see how you could be kind of confused. You're in the spirit world, but how did you get there? This was all so fast and unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
That it
mm-hmm.
makes sense that someone would be there. And I think the most interesting thing was that when she saw the black mass, she's like, this is scary to me. But she yeah. felt peace and love. But just don't show yourself like that. The very next day, she sees him in his favorite shirt.
Mm-hmm.
He's solid.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. And she, like, wasn't even taking medication. But those yeah. kind of stories just get me in the heart. I can't imagine having two little kids, and I can't imagine what she went through. I'm really sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Well, here is our next story.
This is Jennifer from Austin, Texas again. I wanted to call in and tell you about a house that I grew up in San Antonio. We moved there when I was 5 years old, and my mom's brother had killed himself maybe about a year before, and a lot of spooky things happened in that house, but apparently my mom had told my dad that, you know, he'd appeared to her in a master bedroom. So basically when you walked into the house, there was three bedrooms all in a row. It was the first bedroom, which my brother stayed in, the middle bedroom, which was the smallest, which I stayed in, and then the master bedroom, obviously, where my parents stayed. And, you know, he thought, you know, she was sick or going crazy until one day they were laying in bed. My dad, as a second or third job, he always had multiple jobs. He came home, and this ball of light came out of the kitchen, or I'm sorry, out of the bathroom in the master bedroom, excuse me. And I remember 2 weeks later us moving into another house, and, you know, my parents weren't well off at all. And it was a huge thing for us to move to another house, to take a second mortgage. I remember us trying to sell the house. Again, I was like 5 to 10 years old. We had relatives stayed there, people staying there. And eventually when I was 10 years old, we had to move back into the house, but my mom refused to stay in that master bedroom. So I remember my dad built a room addition on the other side of the house, and my brother moved into the master bedroom. I moved into the first bedroom where he used to stay, and the middle bedroom was just a junk room. And I had weird things happen. My sheets would get pulled off my face because I would always sleep with the covers over my face. I had a fish tank in my room. I was always scared. My door was always opening up by myself, and I was old enough that my brother told me when we were younger, when we first moved in that house, that people would pull on his toes. Anyways, my brother was staying in the master bedroom, which was the most activity. He was sleeping in my parents' bedroom. This is when he was in high school. He would sleep in my parents' bedroom. He refused to sleep in that house. And then my parents got divorced 3 years later, and my brother took the room addition that my parents had moved into, and my dad moved back into the master bedroom. And a few years passed, and then finally my brother moved out and I took the master bedroom. And it was weird. It was like a residual energy would always be in there, but it would stop at the door. It was very strange. But one of the things that I wanted to tell most about was I was studying in my room, and my dad had tiled the entire house. And I remember you could hear my dad shuffling. He wore these Adidas flip-flops, and you can hear him shuffling to the door. And I remember studying, and all of a sudden I just heard this loud knock at my bedroom door, and I knew it wasn't my dad. Yes, I was enthralled and, you know, studying, but I didn't hear him. And honestly, my dad, he would knock and just open the door. He never just knocked and not said anything. And I knew it wasn't him. So I didn't say anything. I just sat there and didn't say anything. He didn't come in. And it was just a really creepy experience. We finally moved out of that house. And I always dream about it. Super weird. And anyway, that's my ghost story. I've been at EPP since 2015. I love y'all and keep up the good work. Thanks.
Like, I think that's interesting. That house is so haunted that they mm-hmm. moved out, and mom's like, we're building an addition. I'm not sleeping in that room. Like, that's how haunted it was.
Yeah. No, they built an addition. Did you understand? Now, it said the brother committed suicide. Did it happen in that house, or was it?
I didn't pick up on that.
Okay, because maybe it was the brother, but maybe not.
I don't feel it has anything to do with the brother.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. As she was talking about the different events, I thought, I'm not sure it reflects the brother-mother dynamic. When the one that I thought was kind of interesting was that the father was like dismissive of the mother having these experiences, thought maybe there was something wrong with her, all this stuff, until it happened to him. And then like a week later, they were out of the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can happen where people go, my ex-husband was like, no, it's fine. No, nothing like that. And then when it happened to him, you know,
yeah.
Oh, you know, yeah. Then it was a whole different story once it happened to him. And I kind of got that with this, that, you know, whatever happened to the husband scared him so bad.
Dang, and everybody took turns with that bedroom.
I know, right? Everybody was like, and they were all brave, but I guess they thought, oh, I get this big new room. That'll be great. You know, the master bedroom. And then you know, everybody had experiences in it. But you're right. I don't think it was the brother.
Maybe
the dad just thought mom was having troubles with the loss of the brother, and that's why she was, you know, seemed to be, you know, struggling with that and seeing things or whatever, or hearing things. And he thought, well, she's just struggling because she lost her brother.
And I have a hard time, you know, maybe the mom and the brother didn't have a good relationship. That's not mentioned. But I have a hard time thinking that her brother, their uncle, would torment them like that.
I don't think so.
Even if he had a tormented life, I don't think he would turn around and do that to his loved ones. Because it wasn't a good presence. It wasn't like the other story where she felt love and peace. You know, I don't want to ever live in a house like that.
Oh.
We've got one more quick story, and it says, I've always been skeptical but open to the idea of hauntings. Most of my paranormal experiences could easily be explained. However, in my current apartment, I'm experiencing things I can't explain. Things started when I was lying in bed about a month after I moved in. The apartment has many floor-to-ceiling mirrors, and if angled right, I can see around a corner into my bathroom. Well, that night, I saw a short, long-haired outline standing in the bathroom through one of my bedroom mirrors. Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. Don't like it.
I'm just not sure I'd want to have a bunch of mirrors around me. Like, I don't mind one or two, but I don't need a, yeah.
Yep.
That's asking for trouble.
Right. I'd be covering up those mirrors.
Oh.
And they say there's a thing about mirrors that reflect off of each other, too. So if you can pick up this mirror to that mirror, that's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I thought it was a trick of the light and decided to keep watching the figure until I realized it was something normal that made a strange shape in the dark. After a minute or two, I saw the figure turn and walk away. Scared that I had an intruder in the house, I grabbed my security bat and turned the lights on and loudly proclaimed that whoever was there should leave before I called the police. After not hearing a response, I shouted to the person that I was armed and to come out with their hands up, and I would escort them out and not involve the police. I waited for a while, and not hearing anything, I slowly went into the bathroom to find it completely empty. I convinced myself that this was all something I had imagined, but went around and checked the doors and windows of the house and made sure I was alone before going back to bed. The activity got progressively worse from there on out. One day I came home to find that all of my pictures had been taken off the walls and strewn on the floor.
Okay.
Creepy.
That's trouble.
That's bad. Another night, I woke up to find that my shower was running. That would freak me out.
Yeah.
I've had friends and family over, and the ones who stay the night tell me they have problems sleeping, and they wake up exactly at 3 a.m. feeling cold. I've been scratched, plates have been broken in the sink, and most recently, my 25-pound dumbbells were moved from their normal spot in the corner of my bedroom to the edge of the stairs, which are 30 feet away. I'm scared that things are escalating quickly since all of this happened within the last 3 months. I've tried burning sage and even having the apartment anointed with holy water, but it seems like this is making things worse. I'm stuck here until February and moving isn't an option. Is there something I can do, or should I just accept that I live with an angry spirit? It's from Matthew. That is so hard, because sometimes I think, you know, trying the sage and the holy water is good, but do we know how, as regular people, to really do that properly? You know, are you going through there with a commanding presence? Are you kind of scared? Because you live there and you know what this place is capable of. I think if I was doing that, I'm not the right person to do it because I'm not forceful enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Here's my thought. And this seems like kind of a wimpy one, but it would probably be the best I could come up with if I was in this situation, because this feels pretty intense. Go sit down on the bed or in the living room and say, I know you're not happy, and you know you're scaring me and anybody that I have visiting, and I want you to know that, you know, you're respected. I understand that maybe this, you know, things haven't gone the way you want or whatever. And is there something, can you pass on, you know, to, is there a way for you to move on and out of here, out of this particular realm or whatever? You know, have a conversation, you know, because we have heard some people say that, you know, sitting down and speaking with them, just kind of open and frankly about how this isn't working for either of you, you know, and that it has brought some, you know, peace into their environment. I think it's worth a try. What do you think?
I think another option could be reaching out to a local paranormal investigative group.
Mm-hmm.
And even
even
if there's not one locally, you can find them all over Facebook. But reach out to someone who has some experience with this and see if they have any suggestions on who you could talk to. Because there might be someone in your community who could come over and do a better job at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that that would get rid of them. It's just, you know, I think it's really a difficult situation. when you're dealing with something like that, because you and I aren't equipped to go to battle with that.
No.
And so that makes it hard, but I would definitely try your suggestion. But try that first, because that would be simple. But a paranormal investigative group might be able to say, here's who you could contact in our community, or we have experience with that, or we know someone who has experience with that.
Yeah.
And if the local one
but you
doesn't
do, you
reach
get
out
locked
to
in a lease. You can't just get out of it.
Yeah, because moving isn't always an option, because you got to have, that would be breaking a lease, which, as you well know from experience, can be extremely
really
expensive.
Pricey.
And then, you know, you have to come up with first month's, last month's rent and all that stuff that goes with moving, the expenses. It's just not in the bank.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel bad for Matthew.
Yeah.
So I hope he gets that figured out. But I'd reach out to somebody.
Yeah, keep us posted. I hope Matthew will write back and let us know.
I would love to know more. So share those real ghost stories with us. We'll help if we can. We'll tell you what we think. You can call in anytime, 855-853-4802, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you would like to be a premium subscriber, you could. You get advanced episodes. You can listen to the entire archive. No commercials. Sign up today with Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.